Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We were able to get out of town for a few days this week, and our daughter Donna, she's not much for going down to the actual beach part, but my daughter Christy talked her into getting a bathing suit on and going down, sitting under the tent. About halfway through the week. So there they go. My daughter and one of her daughters helps Donna down through the sand dune and gets her in a chair, and wind's blowing good and all that. Well, Judy and I are up on the little porch. We're just looking out over the ocean and looking at them in the tent, the canopy. So I got to noticing Donna had starting to do this, you know. And I thought, well, what's she saying? Just kind of being dramatic. Well, I found out later, Christy was saying, Donna, are you hot? Uh-huh. Are you hurting? Uh-huh. So she said, you want to go back inside? Yeah. She'd been out there all of 30 minutes. And they brought her back. So I noticed in Sunday school class, people were asking Donna, well, Donna, you went to the beach, but you don't have a suntan. So as we break up church today and you see Donna going out, that's why she's so white. I don't know. She says, I don't know. But that's how that goes. But it was good to get away and be with most of our family. Jason and his family were in Savannah. We didn't get with them, but everybody else. And it was a good time to get away. Good to get back, though. Isn't it good to get back to your own bed after you've been out of town a week or two? Well, I'm going to talk today about Jesus being the Word of Life. And He is just that. The Word of Life. We can't have life without Jesus. We must come to know Jesus as our Savior and Lord. I know we've heard that all of our lives, but it is true. It is more important to hold on to that truth now than ever before, because there are so many forces in the world trying to turn us away from Jesus, trying to turn our eyes on things of the world and to cause us to look at culture or other things around us. And we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Well, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 of 1 John 1. And if you'd stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the Word of Life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Father, bless the reading of your word. May the word go out today and change hearts as Jesus Christ is made to look even more real and significant than ever. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The central truth of this message is if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. In other words, Jesus is the only way to life and joy. There's a lot of books in the bookstores these days, self-improvement books, and many of them promise if you'll buy this book and read its contents, then you'll find out how you can have a happy life, a joyful life. Perhaps it'll tell you can get rich financially. They'll make all kinds of promises. But I'm telling you, no other book can top this book to learn how to have the abundant life. God's word, because it is inspired by God. It is literally God breathed. And as God gave this word to around 40 human authors through inspiration, they wrote those words down, and they have been preserved through the centuries to come to us here today. Supernaturally, this word of God is in our hands today. It is a supernatural work. Why did God do a supernatural work to make sure we got the word of God? Because it is the word of life. And there is no other book in all the universe that can top this book. So when we think about how things got started, you know, here we are on Father's Day, so appropriate, because God is our Heavenly Father. He is the perfect model of who a father should be or what a father should be. And so on this Father's Day, we're reminded of the eternal Father, Father God, and how he has loved us even when we didn't love him. He made a way for us to come to him. In the first section, I want to point out verses 1 through 4. You see the evidence of Christ's life. The evidence of his life. In verse 1, again, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Now, this is John talking about him and the other disciples, how they interacted with Jesus. They heard him give those teachings at the Sermon on the Mount and other places. He says, we saw him with our eyes. They sat at the same table many times and ate with him. And walk with him along the dusty way. So he says, we have seen him with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. So he says, through our senses, we realized it wasn't a dream, but it was reality. Jesus was right there with us. Jesus, the Son of God, was with us. So this is the evidence that we're looking for Christ's life. He actually lived a life and he accomplished his mission, and he's now in heaven making intercession for us. He was from the beginning the word of life. They heard him, they saw him, they touched him. but also the manifestation of his life revealed his eternal existence. Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem. Jesus has no beginning point. Jesus, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three parts of the Trinity are eternal. That means they had no beginning. Now, we can't explain that with our finite minds, but that's what the Bible says. They have no beginning. They're eternal. But the manifestation of his life in Genesis 1:1-2, going all the way back to the beginning. You notice how John writes in verse 1, that which was from the beginning. Well, you go to Genesis, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This is where we see life coming to planet Earth. But God had been at work for eons in the past. There was no measure of the time because it was eternity past, and there's just no measure for that. And God was working, and he was bringing about his plan, and even at that early point, he had it in his mind that he was going to make man, and out of man would come woman. And yes, man, and that man would sin, and there would have to be an offering for that sin, and that sin would spread out over the whole world to all people. Therefore, there had to be an atonement for everyone. So that's why we say Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. In God's mind, he was on that cross. He saw him on that cross. For that purpose, when the tempter took Adam and Eve and tempted them to sin, and they made their own decision to sin, that didn't take God by surprise. He knew that was going to happen, to the point that he already had it planned how to redeem them. And not only them, but all of us who would come to Christ. Nothing takes God by surprise. My mother is in White Oak nursing care in Waxhaw, and she's not doing very well. She's been there for several years with Alzheimer's, and she's in the last stages of Alzheimer's now. And in the last couple of weeks, she's refusing to eat. And we went over there yesterday with a McDonald's milkshake. She loves McDonald's milkshake, chocolate. And we said, Mom, drink some of this milkshake. I don't want it. Oh, come on, it's cold. It'll make your mouth feel good. So she took two or three swallows, didn't say much about it. And then Judy got her to take two or three more swallows. And that was it. She said, that's it. I don't know if it's good or not. And that's probably all she had to eat yesterday. I was talking to my brother this week on the phone about my mom and about our mom and her impending death and all that. And I told Dennis the same thing I tell everyone. I said, God is sovereign. He's in control. And no one dies until it's their time. So whenever Mom's time comes, she's going to die. But until that time, we can go see her and we can talk with her. She sleeps a lot now. But in between naps, we can talk to her. And that seemed to give him comfort. And that's what we have to remember, isn't it, in this life that we live. When we see our loved ones coming down to the last mile of the way, we have to remember God's in control. And God is going to take care of our loved ones. I'm kind of excited that my mom, who's been restricted to a wheelchair for several years now, and just really her mind continuing to deteriorate, I'm kind of excited she's going to have an entrance pretty soon, an entrance into heaven. And she's not going to be in an 84-year-old body any longer. And she's going to get a new body. God is sovereign. And why do I believe that? Because the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me this. I have studied God's word, and that's what God has said. And so I believe it. How about you? Do you believe God's word? Amen. God's word's precious. Another thing about in the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that word, Word, is logos. And logos in Greek culture was a word that referred to the essence of everything, the source of everything. Now, in Greek culture, they weren't thinking about Jehovah God being the source. They were looking to some mythical gods and all that for their logos. But we as believers, when John used this word logos, he's saying Jesus is logos. Jesus is the epitome of everything. Without him, you have nothing. And that's so true. If it were not for Jesus, there would be no earth. There would be no universe. Without Jesus, there would be no us. Without Jesus, there would be no homes and families and jobs and education and all that. Jesus is the source of everything. In Colossians 1:15 to 18, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Does he have the preeminence in your life today? Does he have the preeminence in our church today? I would so love to come to church one Sunday and see the Holy Spirit show up in great power. If that day were to occur, most of us would not even be able to hold our head up. We would be bowed in somber submission to God because we would say, I'm unworthy to be in the presence of such holiness. Don't you long for that kind of day to happen at Lakeview? There's a price to be paid, and it's called repentance. Everybody, it's more effective if everybody will do it. Everybody realizing what your unconfessed sin is and confessing it to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to repent. I want to turn away from this sin. I want to turn to you. I want you to give me that power that only the Holy Spirit can give. In the Sunday school class this morning, we talked about David dancing. And the question was, well, if we saw somebody just break out dancing in a worship service here, what would you think? Well, probably some people just walk out. Not going to have that. But let me remind you, David danced. Don't go making up your little old pea-brain mind over something and getting to meddling with something that God's got control of. When it comes to the things that God is in control of, you better leave your hands off of it. If you see somebody worshiping God in spirit and in truth, you better not go there unless you want to join in. Don't mock someone. Don't make fun of someone who is worshiping God in spirit and truth. Oh, well, preacher, you want us to get charismatic? Well, there's a lot of charismatic doctrines that are wrong. And we're not going to get into those things now. But I've seen individuals just lose themselves in worship. And some of you have seen that also. Just lose themselves and just start crying and thanking God and praising God and lifting God up. That's real. You might say that's church. Don't believe it? Go back to the book of Acts and read up. They show you how church is done. In 1 John 5:7, our fellowship with the Father depends upon Christ's fellowship with the Father. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. In my little mind, this is the way I see that. If I can be in good relationship with God the Father and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, meaning I'm not quenching the Spirit, I'm not grieving the Spirit. If I'm in good relationship with the Trinity, I'm in a pretty good place. I'm in a place where I am making myself available to God to do anything He wants to in my life. Have you ever been there? You ought to get there. You ought to enjoy that. Verse 4, our joy should be the result of our fellowship with the Lord. We just should enjoy fellowship with the Lord every day, and that can be our joy. Sure, we don't have $1 million. We don't have a big house. We don't have a lot of things we don't have, but if we have fellowship with the Lord of glory, we should just be all excited. That's joy. In Psalm 5:11, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. The second thing I see is the message of Christ's redemption. God is light. That's the message. Verse 5. And 1 Thessalonians 1 says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of all you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. And we could go on reading that, but it simply means these people were walking in the light. When people saw the people of Thessalonica, the church there, they realized they had been with Jesus. They had joy on their faces and joy coming out of their hearts. See, that's the best advertisement we've got for Jesus. is love and joy and peace, all the fruits of the Spirit, having all that coming out of us. We can't be against each other. Mark chapter 3 says, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. We must be united. United in love, united in joy, and God will work through us. Verse 6, we must not walk in darkness. Just rule that out of your thinking. Proverbs 2, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, and delight in the perversity of the wicked. Chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. But if we walk in the light, we are blessed. Again, that's what verse 7 says. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Let me ask you, each of you individually, do you have unconfessed sin in your life? Because, see, unconfessed sin is what is holding the church back. Any church. People who have unconfessed sins and they go on and on and on. They're chronic. They're chronic in their unconfessed sin. They may go for years with unconfessed sin. Oh, they may be confessing other sins, but see, they have these pet sins that they like so much to do. They can't face up to the fact that it's wrong. And so they don't confess it to the Lord. Can't have any pet sins and expect to be joyful. So I'm asking you, do you have some unconfessed sins? Before you leave this place today, I want to beg you, confess those sins to the Lord. Turn away from those sins. You say, well, it's just a little sin. In God's eyes, there's no little or big sin. It's all sin. And it's all against Him. And it separates us from His fellowship. The third point, verses 8 through 10, the advantage to being honest about our sins. We need to be honest about our sins. When the Holy Spirit points His finger on your heart and says, wait a minute, this is a sin. We need to be honest and say, Lord, yes, Lord, I agree. That's the first step in confession. You agree with God. Denial of our sin does not help us. Verse 8 said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Can you imagine that? His word is not in us. I don't want that to happen in my life. Neither do you. The only remedy for sin is confession unto God. Verse 9. Folks, I didn't write all this up this week and just make it up. This is here. This is coming from this book. This is the book that you'll be judged by. The Word of God. One day you'll be judged by the Word of God. As a non-believer, your soul will be judged and be cast into hell. As a believer, at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be judged for your Christian works It'll all be done by the word of God. It's like God is saying a big test is coming up, but I'm going to give you all the notes, and you can study all the notes. And if you'll read all the notes, which is the totality of the word of God, then you can be ready for that judgment time. He's a good God, isn't he? If we'll faithfully read this word and faithfully apply this word to our lives, he'll bless us now, and then he'll bless us even more in eternity. And we, and as Christians, will be able to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and hopefully hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You ever thought about what you want on your tombstone? That'd be a nice thing to put on there. But whether it gets on my tombstone or not, I want to hear it from Jesus' mouth. And that'll just make this whole life worth it all. Well done. I've got some familiar scripture I'm going to end with. It's Psalm 1. It's talking about the righteous man. Listen to this. "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Today, are you here and you don't know Christ? Perhaps you're visiting and you came in here and maybe you're with family, but you've heard this message and you say, "Well, all that would be okay, but only thing is I don't know Jesus. I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus." Well, you can change that. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God in flesh? Do you believe that he lived a perfect life? Do you believe that he was apprehended and put on a cross? Before they put him on that cross, he suffered. Then he was put on a cross to suffer even more until he finally, of his own volition, died. But in that death, he offered the blood atonement for the sins of everyone, anyone who would come to him and ask in a repentant, humble way. On the third day, he arose. Do you believe that? He lives now. He's alive. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. If you believe those things with all your heart, then just tell God, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned against you. But Lord, I want to turn away from my sin. I am sorry for my sin, and I want to turn to you and let you save me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." They tell us don't say that anymore around children. not to say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, because it gets children confused. You notice I still say it. Why do I say it? Where else is Jesus going to go? This is not the heart that is pumping blood in your body. This is your heart here. This is where God speaks to you. You hear Him. You see His Word. You use your senses. Somewhere up here, they can't take it out surgically, but there's a place somewhere up here that was an empty place until Jesus Christ came in to fill it. And now we're listening to Him. We're not listening to Satan. We're not listening to ourselves, the flesh. We're listening to Jesus. So when I say you ask Him into your heart, that's why I say that. There's nowhere else He can go. He comes into the place where your throne is located. You've been sitting on the throne of your life. Now Jesus is going to sit on the throne of your life. That's lordship. So I hope I don't confuse the children too much. Main thing is teach your children to love Jesus and to want to have a relationship with Him. And for those of you who are Christians, secret sins, unconfessed sins, why don't you get them out of the way today? Just get them out of here. Get them out of your heart. Chase them away and let Jesus take them. And live a righteous life. Now, that means you're going to have to love everybody. I hate to break it to you. That's one of the biggies. You got to love everybody. You got to tell the truth. You can't be spiteful. Can't get back at people. No, you just love them. Basically, that's what you're going to be doing with people from now on. You're going to love them in Jesus Christ. Well, what if they don't love me? You just keep loving them. Let God take care of them. We'll have a time of invitation. I like the name of the song. Come to the altar. Revival. At Lakeview Baptist Church, wouldn't it be wonderful for revival to break out before our new pastor even gets here? I know if I was a new pastor coming into a new church, and my first day there, revival had broken out already, I would be pretty excited. And it's just no telling where God would take us. Fill these pews up. Why you want to fill these pews up? Because there's lost people out there. They need to come in. Jesus said, compel them to come in. That's our job. Today, this altar is going to be open for you. Nobody's twisting your arm. But you can have joy. Joy unspeakable. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word today. And thank you for what you're going to do in hearts and lives. How you're going to lead people to repent of their sins, to confess their sins. Lord, we just pray for power and victory for this church. That you would help us to experience a revival, a great awakening, a time of refreshing, whatever you want to call it. Lord, help us to get out of the way so we can let you do the work. Save souls. Disciple the saints. Call out preachers. Call out teachers. Call out mentors to continue the work. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me?
Sing with us this morning. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Behind your regrets and mistakes, come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. To the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. Bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Was bought with the precious blood of
you be seated for just a minute? Donna and Sarah, would you like to come up with her? Get your buddy up here with you. Yeah. I don't know how many of you have had the pleasure to meet Donna, but this is Donna Rollins.
Bonnie.
I have met her. I've been through two cycles of grief share. Her name is Bonnie. Is. See, that's why you're up here. Keep straight. Bonnie Rollins. And Bonnie started attending our church at a very difficult time in her life. Her husband had passed away, and she came in to grief share. And that was her first place she came to. But after a while, she started coming to Sunday school and worship. Well, Bonnie came up today and told me that she'd like to join Lakeview. And she is moving her letter from Southside Baptist in Mooresville. So I need a motion and a second. All right. All in favor, say a big amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm gonna ask Bonnie just to stay up here around the front, and y'all just come on down and greet her into the fellowship, welcome her in, and she likes to hug necks. Go ahead and give her a hug. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Over to you.
Yeah. I got just a couple of things for you. One is I just want to remind you, we're so excited. This week is Vacation Bible School, all right? So please, please, please have your kids come on out, grandkids come on out. And if you will, it always helps us out if you can register beforehand. You can go to our website and register your child. And that is, as you see on the screen there, that's 3 years to a completed fifth grade is what our Vacation Bible School is. And it starts there at 9:30 to 12. Every day this week, so we're looking forward to that. And because of Vacation Bible School, there's not going to be any activities or studies on Wednesday night. So all adults, students, you have that time. But I did want to end with one thing, and this comes as a recommendation from the Building and Grounds Committee that I want to bring to you. And as I make this recommendation, it gives us a week, and next week we will have a time after our worship service to vote on this as a congregation, and you can ask any questions, that sort of thing. But I'm going to read this for you. It says, the Building and Grounds Committee approved and is making a recommendation to the church for the purchase and installation of 18 security cameras and monitor from REM Technologies LLC at a cost of $13,737. Three bids from qualified companies were obtained, and this is the lowest bid. Building and Grounds and the deacons have approved this expenditure. In addition, the stewardship committee has approved of the expenditure in this church year. So I want to make you aware of that and hear that as that was given to you in a recommendation. And again, we'll be voting on that next Sunday after our worship service. So again, if you have any questions, you can reach out to the Building and Grounds, and they'll be happy to talk to you about that through the week. All right. Well, that is all I have. So I'm going to ask her if she will in just a moment. She can stand back up here. I'll have a word of prayer. So come down here before you leave and greet her, and then we'll be finished for the day. Again, happy Father's Day to all the dads. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for a wonderful time to be in your house today. We thank you for the time that we have to gather together as believers. We thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, we thank you that, God, that you have always been and always will be. And Lord, I pray that you'll just give us a great day in just celebrating and honoring all the fathers and all the dads. But Lord, let it be a restful renewal day, Lord, as we ultimately just glorify you as our Heavenly Father. And so give us a great week. May we honor you in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen.